This is AA Radio of Helsinki. I am Jani, I'm alcoholic, and with me there's now four members of AA around the world. We are currently in Euripa Convention in Helsinki, and we are going to talk about AA and own experiences of recovery and alcoholism and AA in general, and young people's meetings and stuff like that. At first, could you please introduce yourself? What's your name and which country are you from? Let's start from here.
My name is Michelle. I'm an alcoholic and I'm from Ireland.
Hello, my name is Max. I'm an alcoholic and I'm from Denmark.
Greetings, my name is Felix, and I'm also from Denmark, and I'm also an alcoholic.
Erika, an alcoholic from Mexico.
Thank you. So, this is all Europe, young people of AA convention. Is this your first time here in this kind of convention, and what do you think about it, and what's your thoughts so far?
Hi. No, it's not my first time attending. I've been attending Euripa for a number of years, since the third Euripa. And I absolutely fell in love with it once I started to come to this type of convention and event. It's just so vibrant and so different to some of the conventions I had experienced up to that. So I have made it an annual thing from my first one until now. And so, yeah, I love the experience. I love celebrating my sobriety with like-minded people. And it's very important to me.
All right, cool.
Well, I was attending my first Euripa last winter. It was in Copenhagen, where I'm from. So I guess I was kind of... at first I knew about it because I was actually participating in doing the preparations for it. But then I backed out of it. But I attended it anyways, and it was a great experience for me. Also to connect with a lot of people from... in my own age group, that meant a lot for me, I guess, and it kind of tore down some of the barriers I had and some of the prejudices I had against AA that was still there. Yeah, it was just a great feeling for me to be there, and I immediately wanted to go and try another time, and now I'm here, and it's been great so far.
Thanks. What about Felix?
What was the question?
Is this your first time in this type of convention, and what's your thoughts this far?
Well, this winter was my first real international convention at the Skankipa, where I went New Year's Eve, and that was in my own city, so that was quite convenient. But this is my first convention abroad. And my thought so far has been that I guess I have to... I have to be aware of my expectations because sometimes, like, my experience is that my disappointments in my life are in a direct proportion to my expectations, you know. So if I have major expectations to somebody or someone to fulfill something that I need, then if they don't do that, the disappointment that I feel is equal to how high expectations I had. So, like, if I expected a lot from Euripa to give me something, or what can I get out of it, then I keep looking around, like, with a certain restlessness, like, how can I get something out of this, and how can this convention fix my needs, and, like, where should I be to get the most out of it? And then I try to remind myself that I'm here to try and be useful for the fellowship, you know. I try to ask my higher power, dear God, how can I be the most useful for this convention? And I do that several times a day, yesterday and today, because several times a day I find myself trying to control whatever is going to happen.
And so far it's led me to you, Jani, and sitting here. And just before we started, I could feel like fear of missing out of the main meeting. It's like, oh no, what if I don't get to the main meeting? Like, I'm not here to get something out of this, you know. I'm here to be useful. And right now it's trying to participate in a really nice initiative of broadcasting live radio. It's so cool. I might even adapt this thing and bring it back home to Copenhagen. So thank you so much for that.
All right. You're welcome. What about Eric?
Yes. Well, this is not my first time. And, you know, I believe Europa, it's a conference where, for me, this is how I perceive it, where I can celebrate my sobriety and see my friends every year. And I like, you know, what you say. I agree with, you know, Felix. I think coming from far away to a place where, you know, I can support the young community to stay in recovery, it's worth my time and everything, my vacation. And so, yeah, I'm very grateful to be here and to be at service to this community. And I'm excited to be here in Finland, so...
All right, thanks. Can you say something about your own country? Do you have like young people meetings or some activity specifically for young people in AA? And how do you feel about being like a sub-category of AA? Or like, is there something different between young people and compared to all members of AA?
Yeah, so I did get sober in the Spanish community, and I got sober in a traditional meeting. That it was in a young people's meeting. In my country, this concept is very difficult, and we're going through a lot of challenges to create something like this and to be accepted even in the same community, AA community. But, you know, as time went by, I was able to attend to other conferences in the U.S. and attend to IKIPA and AKIPA and WAKIPA and be at service to these major conferences. And that's how I started getting a little bit more involved in now, you know, Europa, that has been, you know, host here every year. It's been a really good piece of my recovery.
The difference between regular AA, if you like, and the young person's AA. Like I said, I come from Ireland, so we did have some difficulties, and we still experience a little bit of difficulty with regard to regular AA, kind of saying, the old timers kind of saying, oh, that's not AA. But however, it's moving away from that now. And we're having next March 2018, we're going to have our third IRIPA. It's in Nina in Tipperary, and you'll be able to find it on the website if you Google IRIPA, and you'll be able to find out all the details about that. So that's going to be the third event. And the first event registered over 250 people of all age groups, of all lengths of sobriety, newcomers, old timers, you know. So I think it's breaking down that idea that we're somehow separate. We practice the steps, and we know we study the big book, and the concepts and the traditions the same, you know, except for me, my belief is it's with a lot more enthusiasm, you know, and with a lot more fun, you know. So I've gone to several of these conferences and conventions, and I'm going to my first IKIPA in 2 weeks, and I'm so excited because it's like the 59th international conference of young people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm going to be there, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait, you know. And and that's all because I came to Copenhagen to a young person's convention in 2011, I think it was, or whatever it was, and I've been coming since. You know, so, you know, I think all we can do, and I don't even class it, like, I'm 41 years of age with almost 16 years sobriety, so I got sober when I was 25. You know, so I kind of sometimes think, God, I'm not a young person anymore. And they're all like so young. But like I have a son who's 21 and he's 2 years clean and sober. You know, and he has come to events with me and it's been amazing, you know. So, like, I think, you know, once we make it clear that we don't step outside our own traditions and we stay well within that, you know, and the singleness of purpose, I think is so important, you know, that we suffer from alcoholism and we only have, you know, we only have the treatment, if you like, for alcoholism, you know, and we can cooperate and everything like that. But I think that's super important is that we don't dilute this down. You know, for me, you know, I have other issues, but for me, I come to Alcoholics Anonymous for my alcoholism. You know, so I think that's so important. And this convention is just amazing. You know, I was in Malta a number of years ago, and there was a girl who had two days sober at the Malta convention, and she's here now with 4.5 years. You know, like that is just like that just brings tears to my eyes when I see that and I see it working. And it's because everybody just, you know, we just carry the message, you know, as best we can on any given day. And like what Felix had said, is just to be outside myself, because sometimes I can be in a room full of people and be so uncomfortable. So, oh my God, and everyone's looking at me and I feel like such a misfit. And all I have to do is just go to the person I think in the room and say, you know, introduce myself or whatever it is. And straight away I'm out of myself. And I think that's key to our recovery, you know. I do service as well on the board. So when I came to Copenhagen, I was asked to join the board of Europa because of my service history and that in Ireland and stuff. So I do service and I participate, and I think that's very important as well. For me, you know, they say the steps are there for a personal recovery and to keep us well, you know, and the traditions are there to keep Alcoholics Anonymous well, you know. So we try and practice that. So yeah, this is a lovely initiative. So thanks. Yeah,
thank you. All right,
could you please repeat the question?
What are your thoughts about of these young people's conventions and activities, and is there something different between young people and all the as a AA in whole?
Well, I mean, my first experience when I was in Skænkepa, it was like people were so, there were like, when people read the literature, people could like, people yelled something out of fun, and you know, when people introduce themselves, they have a chant that is like, we love you, and a lot of that. And that was so different to my experience with going to regular meetings, and I think that caught my attention a lot, because I'm really good at taking myself really, really serious, so I could also, and I project that on the program as well, so I take the program really, really serious, and of course that's important, that's not the point of it, but it sort of gave me like a relief from the pressure I felt in a way. And it was also like the slogan of the young people's convention is happy, joyous and free. And I think that's just, you know, you can feel that emotion, those emotions flowing freely at the convention. And I just think that's something that separates it from maybe some of the other conventions that I've been to. Not to compare. But yeah, and in Denmark we have some young people meetings, but they are kind of like the normal regular meetings. They don't have any like special way of reading the literature or something like that. So that's why I think this is special for me to come here. Yes.
Thanks. Felix.
Yes. Me and Max, when we went to Skænkepa, I remember Max's enthusiasm. I had a couple of years more sobriety than him, and he was like, this is amazing, there are so many people, the convention is the best, we need to do this some more, we need to tell everyone how big this actually is, because usually you just go in a group and you feel like you are just that group, you know, like
10 or 20 people and that's it. And when you go to a convention, it's like how I felt about going to my first convention was that it to compare, I guess, it's like if you got a sign from another planet that there was intelligent life in the universe, somebody somewhere else, you know, like we're not alone. You know, that's how I feel when I go to conventions. Like, there's so many people out there. There's so many different people with like great recovery and like with the light in their eyes, and you know, they're like you get the feeling that there are like endless possibilities. And to me, the difference between regular AA and young people in AA is that as a young person, when I go into AA, I heard a lot of stories about how they lost everything. You know, like people like, oh, then I lost my house and my wife and my job. And I was like, my feeling was that I hadn't even gotten anything. My feeling was that all my friends were getting educations, they were getting apartments, they were getting a good economy, and I wasn't getting anything. I wanted to get something out of the life. So when I got so was like almost greedy in life, like I want to experience everything right now, like going around and just, and a great way to spend that energy is to going to conventions, because like you know, like the old persons in the AA used to sell me, like used to hate when they say that, like, you're so lucky you got in so young, you're so lucky, like you held your whole life in front of you. And I feel like, what do you mean? You have been able to drink your whole life and have a solution your whole life. I can't even use drinking anymore. It doesn't work for me. At least you get to drink your whole life. Like, my life is over. No, and I'm still young. My life is over. And that's really what I try to encourage, is that, like, life has just begun. And I'm not just a participating Eurypa. I also arrange, like, clean and sober, like, going out and partying, going to nightclubs, going out a lot, like, doing social things, like, in between, because I want to show young people that it's that you can go and party. You don't have to avoid the temptations. And that's also what I think Eurypa is like about, is saying like life has just begun, embrace it.
I'm always curious about how AA actually works. What do we do? What do we need to do? How AA groups work and how the program works. And now that we have members of different countries, I'm very curious to hear, what do you feel about how do the AA work, and how does your own group in your country or in your city work, and do you think there is some differences between countries? What do you think?
I suppose my own personal experience of AA, when I got sober first, there wasn't a lot of people working the steps, and there was a lot of meetings where people maybe adopted a kind of an idea that it was like group therapy or something, and they would go to two or three meetings a week and they would share about how one day in their lives were, or how bad things were, or how good things were, or whatever it was, you know, and they'd get relief and they would leave. And I found myself falling into that category where I was just maintaining my sobriety by going to meetings two or three times per week. And then I, as soon as I was qualified to take a service position, I took a position of secretary first, because you just have to be 3 months sober to take secretary of a meeting. And I took secretary of a meeting. And as soon as that finished, I went to the other meeting and took secretary there. And then I constantly had a service position. And then I found myself going forward for GSR and different roles, you know. So I found myself at 5 years sober, just on step 1 and 12, basically. I knew I was an alcoholic the first half of step 1, because my life was still really, really unmanageable, really unbelievably unmanageable. My emotions were still completely unmanageable. And I was going to meetings and I wasn't getting a solution. And I was just hearing drinker logs, and I was still almost the youngest person. There was a couple of us, two or three of us, that were under 25. The rest were like long time sober, and they would say, oh, you're so young, and isn't it great, and you're not drinking. And I'm like, I want to kill myself. But anyway, I'm not drinking. And so I was just doing service and going to meetings, and so much service. It was unbelievable. I was organizing everything, and I would organize conventions, and I was doing whatever, but I didn't have any personal recovery. And it was just by pure chance, and it wasn't by chance, I know now, it was my higher power. I was put in contact with a local member who had actually moved away and had started going to a big book meeting in London. And he started sending me CDs and tapes and paperwork, how to do inventories and all of this sort of stuff. And within a very short time of that, I met somebody who for the first time took me through the book when I was 5 years sober. And I was really at that jumping off place, you know. So when I go to meetings now, I talk about the solution. You know, I talk about, you know, I helped to start a big book study meeting. I didn't pull back from service, but my service became different. I was doing it for a different reason. And then I started taking people through the book the same way I was taken through the book. And on and off for the last, you know, 10 years, I've been doing that. Of course, I have times where, you know, other things take over, you know, I can be work and different things and whatever, you know, but generally, I've had to renew this. I have to renew this on a daily basis. And I, just a few months ago, I got a new sponsor, and I'm going back through the steps again, because the day I think I know it all is the day I'm in trouble, you know. And our meetings have improved in Ireland quite a lot, and we have more big book study meetings. And, you know, there was, when I got sober first, and it wasn't that long ago, you know, people would say things like, the only steps you need are big steps past the pub. You know, it was just like they didn't realize, you know, and for a person suffering from alcoholism, that is just a death sentence, you know. For me, I'm page 21 alcoholic, you know, and I have to do more than just go to meetings and do service. You know, the personal recovery I had to do, and the inventories, and it was so hard, you know, and I still find it difficult. You know, my self-will is quite strong, and is everything fine, and oh, God is running it, and really I think I'm running it, really, but I'll pretend that God's running my life and whatever. But you know, I'm humble enough to know that I have to continue to do this, and all I can do, really, I can't change the meetings back home. I can't, there's certain meetings I will not go to, but overall the meetings are much better, and you know, there's more and more people talking about the solution. And going to events like this and coming back just recharged and fired up, you know, and I do this quite regularly, you know. So our meetings are becoming more recovery based in Ireland and around where I am. I live in a small town, about 200,000 people, and there's 123 meetings every week. So there's like about 1,000 members, I think, when we did a census a number of years back. So we have loads of meetings. We can get 4 meetings some days. So loads of choice. And when I see a new person, I try and give her my number, or, you know, whatever the case may be. If it's a young male member that comes in, try and, you know, point them in the direction of somebody that may help them, you know, and do that bit of service, you know. So, yeah, that's been my experience. My personal recovery was a little bit later, but eventually I did, thank God, you know. But my advice to anyone is get a sponsor and start going through the book, you know. Don't wait till you're 5 years sober and and suicidal and homicidal and smashing things. So yeah, that was just my experience, you know. Thank you.
Thanks.
When I first heard another alcoholic talking about their experience, and I was very young, I felt just the same way, you know, Felix felt, that I finally connect with like another alien, you know. And that was, you know, that was just a phenomenal experience. You know, I was 15 and trying to go in and out in mental hospitals. I really wanted to die, you know. So if there's anyone really out there that, you know, you're young and you drink and you use anything to numb your pain, I was that person, and I found a solution in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I stayed. I've been going to conferences like this, and I have developed a bunch of friends, friendships and relationships with people I see every year. I feel that I'm not alone. And, you know, it just sometimes we meet once a year, but sometimes we feel that time has not passed. And I'm a veteran member in society in my, you know, in my city. I work the program. I have a home group. I have a sponsor that I work my steps. I have a service sponsor that I work my you know, my service, you know, general service. That's what we call it in the U.S. And I have a daughter today, and she has never seen me on the streets doing anything inappropriate. And she loves to go to conferences as well. I am a good, daughter and a good sister now, and that's just my life is absolutely different. I have a great job, and definitely it's definitely a great investment. I keep telling people I meet, oh, it's the best investment I made in my life. You know, I get to have a bunch of people that I consider family, and I go everywhere in the world. Yeah.
How did you find AA, and was it easy to find?
I say that again.
How did you find AA? I mean, how did you come to your first?
My first meeting, I was actually tricked with my drug addict boyfriend at the time. He actually found AA first, by the grace of God. Thank God. He did find AA, and I was homeless at the time, and he invited me to have dinner, and I haven't eaten all day, so I agreed to go to and meet, you know, go with him to get some food, and I went into the room of Alcoholics Anonymous, and people greeted me with a lot of love and acceptance. And I was broken, and I was just going through the hardest time in my life. You know what you say. It's, you're done. I was done. I was living on the streets, like I say. And my life was miserable. My family did not know where I was, where I was living. And, yeah. So.
All right. Uh-huh. Thank you. Max, how did you find AA and what has AA done, or how do you think that AA works in your case?
I found out. AA found me, or I find AA. I don't know, but it was actually I had been stopped drinking for like 2 years before I came to AA, but I was continuously using drugs whenever I was partying, and I was also smoking weed every day. And by that 2 years, I was really trying to control my sickness with a lot of half solutions I found out, you know, changing my life or moving and stuff like that. And I came to a point where I got some of the things I thought would fix me in a way, the things I demanded of life. And then when it didn't fix me as I thought it would, I got some help. It was actually my mother who suggested me to maybe look at my substance abuse, and I was really willing to follow her suggestion, even though she had been trying to tell me the same thing for a lot of years, but just this time I was willing, and that got me in contact with somebody from AA who called me, and he was like really down to the earth. I was really serious and, you know, wanted help and all that, and he was really down to earth, and he just said, like almost jokingly, if I wanted to come, I could come. And yeah, he knew a little bit about smoking weed. And, you know, he was really nice to talk with. And after talking a little bit with him, he asked if he could give my number to another guy. And that's actually Felix, who are with us today now. And then Felix called me and told me his history. Afterwards, I told him mine. And it all came to begin. And he took me to a meeting, which was in another fellowship, but with the same solution, of course. And that opened up for me. That was like first time I heard somebody tell my story, and I could really identify with the people there, and I didn't feel that alone anymore. And it all just started from there. And Felix, he asked me at my first meeting if I wanted a sponsor, and I didn't know what a sponsor was or anything, but I just said yes. And it was a really, really wise choice of me. I'm glad that he asked me. He took me through the steps. So that's my experience and how I came to AA.
Do you have any daily or weekly schedule of doing it?
Yes. The group, the home group that I come from, they are called Vision for You, and they are a group who are connected with some other groups in, I think, England and maybe also Holland, Netherlands, and they have some daily suggestions that we are supposed to do during our day, and it starts with praying for a clean and sober day, and reading some pages in some in the big book. Blue book, and afterwards you read your gratitude list, and then you read out just for today card that we have, which is a card that is, for me, it's like a meditation card, but it's also some suggestions that makes me keep developing spiritually. And I can mention some of the suggestions. It's like, today I will do a thing for another person without telling anybody about it. Or today I will do two things that I don't want to do, just to practice doing it. Or today I want to be happy and such. And then during day I have to call at least two persons that are younger than me to ask how they are. And then also attend two meetings a week where I have a service. And then at night I write my gratitude list and I pray and say thank you for another clean and sober day. Yeah. And that's my program.
All right. That's like a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, they are also called the Talibans. Yeah. In Denmark, people call us like step Talibans.
Yeah.
Because we take the program very seriously and we demand a lot of people.
All right. Felix, how was your way to AA?
My way was trying every other solution first. Because I knew that AA was, you know, complete absence of alcohol. And that was not a possibility for me, I thought. I mean, that I knew that that was not going to happen. I did not believe that. I had a hope that I might learn how to control alcohol, but I knew I would never be able to live without it. And then I heard that they called it an illness. So I was in a bench drinking beers and, you know, shouting out to a dog that was swimming around and like seeing things that wasn't there, and I called him and I said, like, they had a phone, and I remember this lady taking the phone. It's like, so is it true that it's an illness? And she's like, well, yeah, kind of, like, it's a kind of a illness. Well, it's not for me, because I don't believe in disease or illness. It's just a socially created word, you know. And I just intellectualized myself out of the fact that I might suffer from alcoholism, even though I was you know, drinking every day and had nothing. So after the mental asylum and trying to do yoga consistently for many years, but still using between some months and just like ruining everything, I just kind of quit. I gave up, you know. I gave up and I went home to my mother, and she said, like, where have you been? You know, the police is looking for you. Nobody knows where you've been for a week. You know, we thought you were dead. And I said, like, well, I have been out drinking, you know, for 2 weeks. And she said, like, well, I actually talked to somebody and she said that you might suffer from alcoholism. It's like, whatever, you know. And she gave me a flyer and I found a number and I called the same phone again. And this guy said, like, you know, I actually know a guy who reminds me a bit of you. His story is a bit the same. Would you like to talk to him? And meanwhile, go to this meeting. you know, and I just went on my bike and started biking. And then my phone called, and it was Toby from also here today, who had 40 days clean and sober back then. And he told me his story, just like I told mine to Max, and could completely relate to it, you know. He took me to another meeting the same day I went, and I just completely felt at home. You know, like, fuck, this is it. It was like, this is it. I'm an alcoholic. I knew it. You know, I was just like, this is it. You know, and the next day I woke up and I called my best friend. It's like, I'm an alcoholic. It's like, okay, good for you. You want to join me? Like, yes. And we went out and we went for a walk. And it's like, I'm just going to Christiania to buy some weed. You want to go? Sure, sure. Let's just go. I'm not getting anything though, you know. And we went and he started smoking and he said, you want one? It's like, sure. And I just started smoking. And out of a sudden, I was affected by something. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Sorry to swear on air. What just happened? And I couldn't understand. There was. I could feel the effect of the drug. But it wasn't the same anymore. Usually, I could use my drug and it would take me away. You know, it was my solution to my problems. But it didn't work. And I had two options. One was to go and see Toby the same evening we had arranged a meeting. Or I could, you know, go out and find some money to some more. But I was also hungry. And I was like sitting for 10 minutes like, I'm going to go to the meeting. It's in 15 minutes. No, I'm going to go and get some more to smoke. Like, I'm going to go to the meeting. And I just said like, okay, whatever, just go. And I just went. I went to the meeting. People were laughing. And this guy came over to me. He looked as if he wouldn't be mad if I relapsed. So I just said, like, let's do the... He asked me, you want to do the program? You want to do this 12-step? And I just said yes. I didn't consider it. I just said yes. And I've been clean and sober every day. And, you know, at our home group meeting, Vision for You, we have around 100 participants when it's max. And the focus is on newcomers, just like the focus here is on the listener. You know, you're the most important person here. And once I recommended getting a sponsor, and one of the old timers took me aside after the meeting and said, like, can you not do that? Can you not recommend getting a sponsor? I was like, why? And he said, because that's not necessarily true. Actually, it was good for me. I have no other experience. I don't know how it is being sober without a sponsor. I can only talk to myself that it worked for me. But I have also seen people who have been sober without sponsor, with going to meetings. So I cannot recommend it. Neither can I say you should not do it. It worked for me. I feel good. And the important thing, the message is that I think that wherever you are in your process of life, wherever you are, you are exactly where you're supposed to be in your process. And that's what I want to say. Thank you.
If you had to describe AA to somebody who doesn't know anything about AA, what would you say? There are many listeners who probably don't know much or anything about our community, or our program, or how to get sober, or anything about that. What would you say about that kind of person? What do they need to know?
Well, for anyone who thinks that they may suffer, you know, I mean, there's so many ways of reaching us, you know. But what we are, I suppose, are a group of sober people who have a common illness and a common ground and where we stand, and we're from all different types of backgrounds and social classes and religions and ethnicities and everything, so diverse, you know. It's actually that's probably the hardest question so far. It's really hard to describe what Alcoholics Anonymous is. You know, we're a group of drunks who, through our literature and our fellowship, we support each other to remain sober through trials and tribulations, ups and downs. You know, and it works. It's there's no formula. Well, there is a formula. It's in the first 164 pages of the book, but it just works in a miraculous way. For anybody who may think that they have an alcoholic in their lives, I would say not to push them into AA or not to push them down that route. That there's our sister fellowship, Al-Anon. And that will support the person who is affected by the alcoholic, and whether or not a recovery will come for that person or not is you know, it's about taking care of yourself. So I think for any alcoholic who needs Alcoholics Anonymous, it doesn't matter, they need to want it. They need to want it. So if there's somebody listening who's not sure, if you want something to change, this is how you bring that change into your life, or it's a possible way to bring that change into your life. You know, and yeah, we just, it works. Yeah, I refer to AA as my spiritual family. That's what I call it. You know, because of my family of origin, I feel quite alien, and I feel quite like at home with my aliens. You know, I like that description that Felix used, and I really identify with it. So yeah, thanks.
I agree with Michelle, and I would like to point at the direction. So it's pretty much the one thing that really like when I started going to AA was that this was anonymous, and I remember my first sponsor used to say, from the door through the inside, that everyone in this room, we all have, you know, there's no man or woman. We all here to, you know, be opened and hear what we hear here. It stays here, and if we see each other and the outside, you know, we don't have to greet each other. We have to, you know, or we can say that we always have to protect the anonymity of our all of the members that attend to this. Groups, and I really like that, because in a way, you know, because you're young and you want to, you know, kind of save your face a little bit, like, what are my family going to know that I'm an alcoholic, or, you know, it's all these things. It's not very culturally accepted in my country, and that was something that I really liked, and I practice that as well in the traditions. And I remember also that it was, you know, for young people, it's just very different, because you beginning to grow as a person and to get a family and get all these things that, you know, you're so young, you get your first job and all these things. You have to have a good support group, and honestly. Yeah, Alcoholics Anonymous is like my foundation. And that comes first before anything else. And if someone don't know anything about AA, you know, there's the AA.org that give a lot of information to the public in general. And yeah, so that's pretty much what I can say.
Thank you.
I think I have to align with the previously said about what AA is, and I can only talk for myself when I say that I'm really grateful for being a part of AA. My life has changed a lot since I came to AA. A lot of the things I was searching for has been given to me since I started in AA, and like a lot of people say, it's a foundation for my life now, I think, and I just feel if it's a big family, even though sometimes I feel a part of it, but I know it's something in me, not AA, that's a problem. And actually, I feel a lot of peace with that thought or insight. And I mean, I have a lot of friends who I know are still using, and I see a lot of the things that I got from AA that I think they would benefit from having as well. So, but I mean, it's, as it's been mentioned before, people has to want it before it works. So, yeah, if you know somebody, maybe you can contact Al-Anon or something like that, and they will support you. That's it for me. Thank you.
Yes, it's Felix here. I think AA is, to me, like it's you know, I would rather be an alcoholic who had met AA and gotten sober than I wouldn't have been an alcoholic at the first place. To me, being a part of AA is an indescribable gateway to living an, you know, unimaginably spiritual lifestyle of a feeling, a general feeling of belonging to the world, having a purpose and being one with everybody. You know, I see so many people struggling with that. You know, they just don't have that in their life. They just, it's like they're looking like, what, how can you be so happy about watching the movies in the cinema? Like, you're laughing like a little baby. Like, my friend told me, like, you should have think that you had never seen a movie before. You know, like, when I'm really in a good spiritual shape, I can just get, like, a spiritual awakening about eating an ice cream or watching a butterfly. Like, I feel like when you stare into a baby's eyes sometimes, you know, that sense of unity and feeling the light shine from within, that's what AA has given me, and that's really what AA is about. So if you're worried about being an alcoholic, you should be happy. When I meet newcomers and I ask them, are you an alcoholic? And they say, maybe. I said, congratulations. You just bought yourself an extremely expensive ticket, but to a, you know, unimaginably great way of life.
Thank you. All right. Do anybody want to say something more?
Yes, I think we should make a shout out to the listener in the Europa way. You know, isn't it? Hello, listener. We love you, listener. Lots and lots and lots. In the whole bunch of it.
Thank you very much, Michel, Erika, Max and Felix. Yes, that's it.